Get your ears wrapped around the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast. All the scoop you need to know, from college basketball to the NBA and even March Madness. News of your rising stars. Topics on and off the hardwood. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Basketball Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Basketball Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff Maloff, and with me is my buddy, Mark Souza. We are going to be talking a lot about basketball today, as we are going to discuss the fight that happened between the Lakers and the Houston Rockets, as multiple guys were suspended. And then we'll also talk about how the Lakers have been doing within the LeBron era, and also rookies and how they have standed out in their own respective teams. We'll even talk about the preseason polls for the AP Top 25 in college basketball that was released recently. So we got a lot to talk about. But first things first, we need to talk about the fight that happened between the Rockets and the Lakers.
There was a fight?
Yes. Did you not watch the news?
Who got in a fight?
Well, it was Rajon Rondo and Chris Paul with the surprise... with the surprise appearance by Brandon Ingram. So, you know what happened. But Rajon Rondo allegedly spit, and there's video evidence of him kind of spitting, not like a huge loogie, but a spit nonetheless, in the face of Chris Paul, who took exception to that and kind of pushed at his face, and Rondo threw a punch. Punches were thrown, and Ingram got involved, and all this was going on. But the main culprit right here is the spit in the face by Rajon Rondo to Chris Paul. Very little spit, but spit is still gross nonetheless. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely spit. It's, you know, not the most egregious spit in the face, but that's still disgusting when you spit in someone's face. It's extremely disrespectful and disgusting, and I think that even though Chris Paul is known to be a guy that can get under some people's skin, I think we can agree that if anybody gets spit on, they might get a little physical after that, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, I would. Like, spit is gross. How little is spit? That's spit should stay in your mouth. It's saliva. It's for eating. It's for digesting food. It's not to go on other people's faces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, what were the suspensions given out?
The suspensions were Brandon Ingram was suspended the most with 4 games, Rajon Rondo for 3 games, and Chris Paul got 2 games. Do you think that's a little... do you think Chris Paul should be suspended at all, or do you think these suspensions are fair? Do you think they should be longer? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you have to suspend Chris Paul just because he did fight. Like, I get it. He defended himself, and I think anybody would have probably done exactly what he did. But with that being said, he did throw a punch. He was on the court. So you got to suspend him. I'm fine with his. But my problem is that Brandon Ingram got the most games, but Rondo really started this whole thing. Rondo spit on somebody and threw the first punch. Paul put his hands on Rondo's face. He kind of pushed him first, but Rondo spit and then came back with 2 punches thrown at least. I am confused on how he only gets a 3-game suspension here when I feel like he was the person in the most wrong of the 3 people suspended. And honestly, you can argue that 3 games is not enough. Like, I don't know. Like, spitting on someone's face and throwing a punch in a basketball game, I think you should get more than 3 games. I think it should be at least double that.
The thing is, with Brandon Ingram being suspended the longest, the thing with it was 4 games because he was not involved in the beginning of the fight. All of a sudden, he comes out of nowhere and starts throwing punches left and right. So, and he was also kind of the reason they were all kind of in each other's faces because of the foul he got and all this other things that have happened. But yes, Rondo spitting in the face of Chris Paul, no matter how little it was, that's
that should be longer than three games. I think that's a very light suspension. Chris Paul, too, yeah, he kind of was throwing punches. It was heated. I can kind of see that. But the fact of the matter is, three games seems very little for something that gross and kind of disrespectful.
Yeah, and at first it was a question if there was a if he did spit on him. But the NBA admitted that he did. There's videos out now that's kind of broken it down. You know, they've slow-mo'd the replays there. They've looked at it. They've shown that there was, even though it wasn't a lot, there it did happen. If the NBA acknowledges that, then it is weird that you only get three games for punching a player and spitting on them. Like, that seems like a weird precedent to set.
Yeah, it's because we've seen suspensions last way longer than this, and but for the kind of the same thing almost, like for fights and stuff like that.
Did you see Red Hot Chili Peppers singer Anthony Kiedis get ejected from the game too?
He did?
Yeah, because he tried to approach Chris Paul.
Oh.
And security bounced him out of there.
Did you also hear about it was I believe it was Rondo's girlfriend and
yeah, the war of words.
Chris Paul's wife were going at each other too. So this thing spilled out to the crowd a little bit. But
yeah, Red Hot Chili Pepper,
you should stay in the crowd and not why would you I'm a famous singer. I can go up there and confront an NBA basketball player on this court.
Yeah, it was a fun first weekend in the NBA, that's for sure. But let's talk about the Lakers for a minute. You know, they did go on to lose that game. They have now started off 0-3. Are you concerned about their season as they've started a little slow? They did lose last night in that overtime thriller to the Spurs. 143-142. LeBron did make that clutch shot to send the game into OT.
But he did miss the shot to win the game.
But unfortunately, the Lakers fall in overtime. They're still without a win. I think we both think that they're going to be one of the top five teams in the West. But has your opinion changed through the very early three-game season?
It feels like it's too early to tell. But there are definitely question marks around this team now that weren't there before. Like, everyone's like, this team might be top three.
They're losing to good teams, though, so, I mean, it's not like they're losing to bad teams.
Yeah, but I would still put it into, like, a consideration of maybe this team isn't as good as everyone thought it was. This team could be a five seed, maybe even lower now, possibly, if this continues. But
and now they're shorthanded for a few games as Rondo and Ingram serve their suspensions. So they'll be gone for the rest of this week.
Well, Ingram's replacement had 37 points in his
Kuzma.
Sorry, I can't pronounce that properly. But had a great game against the Spurs. So it's not like it was like they were missing him.
I mean,
his replacement did great.
They're still missing him. Ingram's one of their better players. But still, the Lakers have other good players on the team. You know, they've lost to three good teams, so I'm not hitting the panic button yet. You got to give them like 15 games or so to see kind of where they're at. But we do know this. The Lakers, with their roster, with how they've constructed this team, of course, LeBron James gives you a chance every time you go out there on the court. And plus, you should probably make the playoffs with LeBron, no matter who you are. But the way they've constructed this roster to kind of be the anti-team to the current crop of Warriors and Rockets.
They're like
the anti-team. You know, like everybody's looking for three-point shooters.
Oh, okay. I thought they were like the like
they're kind of like
Warriors or something like that.
No, they're kind of like what is it? The Suicide Squad? Is that the movie where it's like the
villains?
Like
are
all the like the characters all put in one team. You know, like they're all kind of a cast.
Well,
of
the
characters.
Suicide Squad is all the villains, all the criminals. The Justice League is all the good guys. The Avengers is all the good guys. So you're saying Warriors are the Suicide Squad because they're the enemies now. They're the most hated team in basketball.
But what I'm saying is the Lakers are like a team of some would consider misfits, like JaVale McGee, like Lance Stevenson. Some of these guys are coming in and they're trying to play
the worst of the worst.
They're trying to play a different brand of basketball is like the overarching
Suicide Squad trailer, you would get that. But yeah, I can see why they can be like the Suicide Squad. Like, really, these guys are being a team? Like,
well, they're trying to do it. They're trying to win doing it a different way than everybody else is what I'm saying. So not a very good three-point shooting team, and we've seen that through three games. Do you think that's a concern? Will they need to shoot the three better to have a chance at finishing in the top four?
Well,
in the West?
This is a three-point league now. The three-point is absolutely crucial when it comes to the NBA now, and that is one thing I think they need to work on in order to get over this hump they are on at the moment. And if they want to get past the Warriors and the Rockets, I do really believe they at least maybe just play perimeter defense as hard as anyone else in the league, or you got to counter their threes with threes of your own.
They were fairly decent last night from the three-point line, as they were good on 36%. But in the first two games, they weren't so good. You know, they had a 23% and a 25% from long range against Portland and also against the Rockets. So, not so great from the three-point line.
Did you see Damian Lillard come into the... he was entering the arena the other day in a Stone Cold costume, Stone Cold Steve Austin. He wore a Stone Cold Steve Austin, like, full mask.
I did not see that.
Had the Austin 316, had a championship belt, and he walked like he was Stone Cold. I thought it was funny, and Stone Cold thought it was funny as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that, like, if you haven't seen that, look up Damian Lillard, Stone Cold Steve Austin. It's actually pretty funny.
Yeah. So, you know, back to the Lakers. They play the Suns, the Nuggets, and the Spurs in their next three, which is weird. They just played the Spurs, but
the Nuggets have proven
the Nuggets are 3-0, and they've beaten the Warriors. The Nuggets are on fire.
With a clutch block at the end of the game. So I would definitely put the Nuggets as like a sleeper team that could be a huge contender in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
I know three wins in a row is, but they beat the Warriors. I know that's like, oh, they're going to lose eventually. They always lose because every team has at least one or nine losses. But the fact of the matter is, the Nuggets can prove to be a real team. They just got to keep playing like this throughout the entire season and keep contending against these top teams.
And I think the Suns are an improved team. I mean, you look at their three games so far, they have a different roster. I mean, Devin Booker's still there, but... You know, guys like Ariza, of course, a first-round pick, DeAndre Ayton. You know, they crushed the Mavericks. They got crushed by the Nuggets, but that's not something to be ashamed of. And then they got beat pretty badly by the Warriors, but those are two really good teams they lost to. The Suns might be a little bit better than expected, and I wonder if the Lakers lose this game to Phoenix, what the talk will be. You know, will it be panic time? 0-4, and you lose to the Suns, too?
I would say hit the concern button, not the panic button. So the one right next to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, it's still really early in the season.
Yeah, absolutely. So we saw Luke Walton last night. He was pretty upset after the game. He believes that the Lakers haven't been getting a lot of foul calls. He pretty much acknowledged that he was going to get fined for what he was about to say. So, yeah. Do you think that's just...
I laugh at that because the Lakers are usually the ones that get favored in foul calls.
Do you think that he is starting to maybe feel the pressure a little bit?
Getting LeBron gave him even more pressure than he already had, being the Lakers head coach. Because once you're a Laker, you expect excellence type of thing. The fan base expects championships. And then you get LeBron James, who's the best player in the NBA, and you're thinking, oh, well, we have to get to the finals now. There's no excuse not getting to the finals and losing three in a row. He's going to be blamed for some of that. And I think he's taken the heat and it's getting to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he just feels that the last couple games they've been getting the short end of the stick when it comes to the foul calls. So do you think Luke Walton, though, if they start off, let's say their first 20 games, let's say they're under 500, do you think that they might consider letting him go because of the high expectations?
Oh.
Or let's say
that would be a big power move.
Let's say they get into January and the Lakers are around 500, but not playing better than, you know, not playing as well as people think.
I would definitely say his job is probably like being looked at and observed as maybe this is not the guy to lead this team.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So we will take a look at the Lakers next upcoming games to see how they transition with the arrival of LeBron James and the new player, other new players that they have added. We'll see how they do here in the next couple days, starting tomorrow night as they play the Phoenix Suns. But we should take a quick break, Jeff. When we come back, we'll talk about the first week of NBA action. Who stood out to you? Who you're concerned about? Teams, players, everything. Just your opinions, my opinions on the first week of NBA. And then, of course, later on the show, we'll talk about the rookies. Let's see how they've done in the first few games. We have some notable rookies. DeAndre Ayton, of course, the number two pick, Marvin Bagley. Luka Doncic, Trae Young, they've all played many minutes so far. We'll see. We'll take a look at their production, and we'll do that later on. So stay with us.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back to the GSMC Basketball Podcast. We just finished talking about the Lakers and their fight with Houston, as well as how the Lakers have been doing over the course of these last three games of this beginning of the season. So now we're moving on to teams we would like to talk about, just how they're doing overall. Would you like to start? Do you want me to start?
Yeah, I'll go ahead.
Okay.
I've been very impressed with the Toronto Raptors. Now,
the 3-0 Toronto Raptors.
Yes, the 3-0 Toronto Raptors. I know that they're a favorite in the East. Some people would say the Celtics are the better team in the East, like myself. I actually think the Raptors will finish in second or third, but it'll be close between them and the Sixers. But man, 3-0, impressive start. You know, you beat the Celtics to start the season, 113-101. That's a really good win right away. You know, they were at home, but still a nice game. There to start the season. Then you go ahead and beat the Wizards, which is another decent team, probably a playoff team in the Eastern Conference. And then, you know, getting the Hornets, beating them by 21 is another really good win to start their season. You know, they do play the Timberwolves, Mavericks, and Bucks in their next three games before they get to actually match up with those 76ers that I talked about, but just a impressive start to the Raptors season. You know, it doesn't look like they're suffering the same growing pains as some other teams. Kawhi Leonard has been a great addition. I wonder if they can keep this up. I think that they will. They're obviously one of the teams to beat, especially in the Eastern Conference. What do you think about them, Jeff? Do you have an opinion on them so far?
Yes, the Raptors are looking good. With Kawhi Leonard, that team just went to a whole new level. I know they had to give up DeMar DeRozan, who Kyle Lowry had this good relationship with. But over this course, you look at Kawhi Leonard's better than DeMar DeRozan. It's true. And it's shown how good... DeMar DeRozan's been playing great, no question about it, for the Spurs. But Kawhi Leonard brought something to the Raptors that they desperately needed, and that was like a good defensive player. And he is that guy to really lead them to a potential Eastern Conference win and get into the finals. Like, this team is just as likely to make the finals as the Celtics are, like, mm-hmm. I believe. And I'll talk about the Celtics later.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is, the Raptors are still a contender.
Yeah, and they even beat the Wizards without Kawhi, I mean, which was impressive. You know, he got the night off for rest. So they're winning these games, you know, three games, two with Kawhi, one without. Their next few games are definitely winnable as they play the Mavericks, Timberwolves, and Bucks. Yeah, early season, they're definitely one of the top five teams. We'll see how they go from here. What about you, though, Jeff? What's a team that you would like to talk about who's had a decent start to their season?
Well, we kind of already talked about them, but the Denver Nuggets. I mean, 3-0, you beat the Golden State Warriors, who, again, are the odds-on favorite to win the champion NBA Finals. And whether, like, any time you beat the Golden State Warriors, regular season or not, it's an impressive victory, and you got to take that with pride. And, of course, that awesome block at the end of the game that held them to the win was great. Harris was playing well, 28 points in that game against the Warriors. They didn't have many guys with more than that. Like, they had Jokic. Thank you. I can't pronounce those names. With 23 points, 11 rebounds. But everyone else had, like, 5 points, 3 points, granted. But the fact of the matter is everyone contributed off the bench and on the floor one way or another. And this is what I think is a full team. Like, this team plays together very, very well.
They're a very good defensive basketball team.
Yes, and this team gets the job done. And today they're playing the Kings, which they're 11-point favorites, which they're probably going to take that victory. This team could look good for the next couple of weeks, and maybe
we'll see how they play against the Lakers on TNT this week. That's going to be a fun game.
This team right now looks like a top five team in the West.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think I had them picked at 6 on my preseason playoff. Yeah,
you could move them up right now.
Yeah, they've been, I mean, 3 games is a small sample size, but being the Warriors, like you mentioned, is always something that is very difficult to do, and it's always something to that you need to get credit for. Anything else you'd like to add about the Nuggets?
No, and just hope for the best for them. I mean, it's nice to see a team that's not really looked at in the national spotlight doing really well.
Yeah, and I want to talk about another team that's undefeated right now, the Milwaukee Bucks. Milwaukee Bucks have a chance this year to make some noise. They have a chance to break into that top three, in my opinion, in the East. The Celtics, the Raptors, and the Sixers. And the Bucks look like that's probably your best four in the Eastern Conference. But the Bucks, I think, have the most upside if you think about it, because they got a guy named Giannis Antetokounmpo. I don't know if you heard of him, Jeff, but he has the ability to win the MVP this year, in my opinion. And I think we're
gonna get
the best version of him yet.
That's kind of a bold statement.
Well, you know, he starts off the season with a 25-18-8 game. That's ridiculous.
Yes, I agree that's good, but there's just so many other, like, more nationally looked at players.
And then in game 2, 26-15-4. Yikes. This dude's off the charts. 31-15-4 last night.
Let me ask,
He's the preseason MVP, or the first week MVP in NBA.
NBA Player of the Week?
He's averaging, like, 15 rebounds a game. 29 points and 6 assists.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I gotta be on the opposite side of you just so we have both sides to look at.
And you don't have to.
Well, I want to. And I'm just saying right now, the fact of the matter is you gotta look at, is this gonna continue through all the whole season?
It's funny you mention that.
Okay.
Tomorrow on ESPN, the Milwaukee Bucks, they host the Philadelphia 76ers. That's a decent game to start this week
off.
Don't
get me wrong. I love the guy. He's awesome. I want him to succeed, but this is going to be his biggest test.
Yeah, and I think he'll probably have a good game. That's an interesting game, though. Look for the Bucks. I mean, the Sixers, I mean, they're 2-1, but I wouldn't be surprised at all.
The Sixers are still looked at as a top five team in the East.
Yeah,
kind of a weak East, but
this is a big game, I think, because the Sixers already saw the Celtics, so this is kind of another test, early test for them. What about you, though? What's another team that you would like to discuss?
I kind of want to look at the Boston Celtics a little bit.
Oh, I thought you had a team that you want to talk about before the Celtics. Go ahead, though. Go ahead.
Let's talk about
Celtics.
There's no really order to this, but I want to discuss the Celtics are 2-2. Granted. They lost to the Magic yesterday, but the fact of the matter is
the Raptors. But that's not a bad loss.
But I'm saying the Magic are more of a disappointing loss than the Raptors is. The Raptors are a better team, but with The thing was, it was Jason Tatum. He only had 7 points, and yeah, he had 10 rebounds, but 7 points, that's kind of unlike him.
Yeah, I really can't believe they lost to the Mavericks at home.
The Magic.
The Magic, excuse me.
That is kind of confusing when both names sound the same.
Yeah. Orlando, I can't believe they lost to the Magic at home. 93-90, that's a weird game. Do you think that...
They were 11-point favorites going into that, and the best player on the best performance was Kyrie Irving, 22 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, but you know he can do so much better than that.
Yeah, so, definitely. Hayward, too. I mean, it looks like... look at the numbers.
Hayward's coming off a serious injury, so I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt at the moment.
The problem is that Boston was just terrible from the 3-point line. 9 of 40, 23%. That's really bad. It's going to be hard to win games like that when you miss 31 shots from the outside and only connect on 9. So that's what I see as the biggest factor is into why they lost against definitely a inferior team in the Orlando Magic.
Yes. But I am going to say that there is time to rebuild. Like, it's not like they're 0-3, they're 2-2. They have some wins under their belt. They know they can win, and it's just gonna be maybe a tough road that they thought going to the back to the Eastern Conference Finals and trying to make an appearance in the finals.
Yeah, there will probably be an adjustment period, as we talked about before. The Celtics didn't really play any games last year with Kyrie and Hayward because, you know, as we know, Hayward was injured on the opening night. So it's kind of like that they did add a free agent this year, you know. Like, even though he was added last year, it's kind of like they added the big piece this year. So we'll see an adjustment period like we're seeing with the Lakers, too.
Definitely. It's just very odd to see the teams that we thought were going to explode are now really struggling.
Speaking of which, and I appreciate that segue there, the Oklahoma City Thunder, they're a team that is struggling out of the gate. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
So they lose to the Warriors on opening night without Westbrook, but then they lose to the Clippers, and then they lose to the Kings at home. Like, they suffer a loss.
The Clippers and Kings are just as bad. Like, they're both bad. So losing to both is just as bad as them losing just one of them. But losing to both the Clippers and the Kings back-to-back, and Russell Westbrook came back for the game against the Kings where he had over 30 points and almost a triple-double, and you still lose to the Kings by 11 points. There's definitely some concern there.
Yeah, they give up 131 points to the Kings. They lose by 11, and that game wasn't really that close. A couple times in the fourth quarter, they got it to single digits, but it was like you were expecting that run to happen, and it never did.
Yeah, they just looked off. I can't really explain it. They just looked like something was wrong.
I mean, Westbrook and George had really good games, but they just didn't get too much other. Schroeder had a good game, but overall, it was kind of a two-man show. Adams kind of got dominated a little bit inside against the Kings, which was weird to see. But, yeah, I mean, Marvin Bagley looked impressive in that game. We'll talk about him more later.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a weird start to the season for OKC as they struggle. Again, we talked about it with the Lakers. You really don't want to fall too far behind here in the West because we know how tight this conference will be. We look at last year's standings, 3 games separate. You know, the difference is between 3 games in the Western Conference can be hosting a home playoff series or not in the playoffs at all. So with that said, the Thunder having a tough start, but who's the last team that you would like to discuss of the first week?
The Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
Because Trae Young has been a beast.
Mm-hmm.
He's a shooter, no doubt about it. He's nailing those 3 shots. You also got to think about how that's going to end. Like, if there's going to be a streak of inconsistency with him. But the fact of the matter is, the Hawks are looking pretty good right now, to be honest.
I mean, they're 1-2.
They're looking good compared to how they were last year. Anything is an improvement.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from them, but the only team they did beat was the Grizzlies.
They are being competitive in their games. It's not like it's getting bad. I'm saying there's positives to look at a team with only one win, but the fact of the matter is this team can compete.
Yeah, and I misspoke. They beat the Cavs. They lost to the Grizzlies.
They beat them by 20.
But they also got beat pretty bad by the Grizzlies and the Knicks. I don't know. We'll see what happens with them. Trae Young.
Well, I'm saying like I'm not saying like it was like one like last second effort game. I'm just saying like they look to be actually trying. Do you know? Because last year they didn't look like they were trying. Like they were purposely tanking.
We will see tomorrow as the Mavericks and the Hawks play. That'll be a decent game to see kind of where both teams are and where these young players are, which is a great segue, Jeff, as we take a break. We come back, we will talk about those rookies. We just talked about one, but we'll talk about those numbers broken down. Let's see what DeAndre Ayton's doing. How's Luka Doncic doing? And then after that,
well,
of course...
Let me ask, Mark, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm okay. I'm tired, but I'm okay.
Okay, okay.
Then we'll talk about the last segment upcoming for all you college basketball fans out there. We'll talk about the rankings that just came out, see if your team is in the top 25 and what our thoughts are of the top 25.
Yes, we'll be right back right after this.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back to the GSMC Basketball Podcast. We just finished talking about our teams that we look at and we liked throughout the first three games, or four games, if you, whoever you are, the NBA season. And now we are looking at the rookie watch. Who are you looking at?
Marvin Bagley, number two overall pick.
And I'm looking at DeAndre Ayton, the number one overall pick. And I'll also be looking at Trae Young. And who will you be looking at also?
Luka Doncic.
Okay, so the four draft picks that have basically been playing the most out of everyone else.
Yeah, the top four. I mean, there's other rookies, but I think...
These are the most notable.
Yeah, at least as of today. Mm-hmm. So I'll look
like
at I'll look at Marvin Bagley first.
Should we go? How about we go in order? One pick, two, number three.
Okay.
Okay. So
go ahead. Go with DeAndre.
I'll start with DeAndre. It just makes more sense. So DeAndre Ayton has played only two games this season so far because that's the solid Suns amount of games. His first game against Dallas was pretty spectacular. I mean, 18 points, 10 rebounds, 6 assists. He shot 72% from the field. I know a lot of it's like inside type of stuff. But still, 72%, 18 points in your debut, I take that as a pretty good start.
Mm-hmm.
And then he played Denver, who you talked about was a great defensive team.
Very good, yes.
And he did far from spectacular.
He had a rookie night?
Yes, he had a rookie night. 5 points, 8 rebounds, 1 assist.
How many minutes was that?
Well, the minutes was he played 23 minutes. So it was kind of a lot. He shot 2 of 7 from the field. Yeah, it wasn't a lot of shots, but still, I mean, when you're the number one pick in the draft, you're supposed to play a lot more than 23 minutes and do a lot more in that 23-minute span.
Mm-hmm.
Booker did have 25 points that game, but Ayton should have helped out a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's been impressive so far. I mean, you know, he's going to have those nights where he's going to...
Well, he probably played one of the best defensive teams in the league in the Nuggets.
Yeah, you're going to get those nights. Even against bad teams, he's going to have nights where he has 5 points,
mm-hmm.
5 rebounds. But, you know, it's all about adjusting to the NBA. And will be interesting to see how these rookies adjust
to the rigor of the
scheduling.
The main thing is he did play 36 minutes against the Mavericks his first game and then played only 23 minutes the next game. So I'm not sure where that falls into, like, maybe an injury or something like that, or just he's not playing well and they didn't want to put him in as he's struggling. But bottom line is 36-minute one game, 23-minute the other game, that's going to that's kind of a problem. So at the moment in his career in the NBA, he's averaged 14 points a game, 10 rebounds a game, and 4 assists a game. And his field goal percentage is 55% in his career. Good for him.
Yeah, I think he's going to be just fine. Yeah, I'll go ahead and talk about the number 2 overall pick now, Marvin Bagley III for the Sacramento Kings. I am a person who is very skeptical about this pick, I fully admit. I thought they should have went for Luka Doncic. I was disappointed when they got Bagley because I thought the Kings had a real opportunity to get a multifaceted player more suited for the modern game in Luka Doncic. But I have actually been impressed by what I've seen from Marvin Bagley over the first couple games. The first game, he did not start. He barely played. Only 12 minutes in that game, 6 points, 5 rebounds, which was a nice game considering that it was 12 minutes. You know, then he goes on to play against the Pelicans, and again, it's off the bench. But he gets 33 minutes, so a big uptick in minutes there. 19 points, 8 boards, 3 assists in that game. So again, I feel like a positive game for him. And then you look at when they beat the Thunder on Sunday night. Marvin Bagley, there were times in that game where you could really see the talent. He didn't have as great of a numbers game as he did in his second game, but 24 minutes, 13.7 boards. He's got really good left-handed moves inside. His struggle will be when teams start taking away his left hand and he'll have to adjust to his right. When he gets some counter moves, I think he can be even more effective. But I will say, pleasantly surprised what I've seen from him in the first 3 games. I was expecting him to struggle out of the gate. And he's showing that he can play in this league.
Yes, absolutely. Like well, you're not the number 2 pick for nothing. You have to have some potential showing on college, and it's got to show in the NBA. And he's had showed some flash of his college stardom. So we'll see how he does later on in the season. Mm-hmm. And now, should we go to Trae Young or should we go to Luka Doncic?
Let's go to Trae Young.
Okay. Well, I have Trae Young. And Trae Young's been playing. He had that great game yesterday two days ago against the Cavaliers. He had 35 points and 11 assists, actually. Went 6 of 14 from the 3-point line and had a steal of himself. So he played a very good, great game, and great from the 3 line. Having 6 threes in one game is great. 14 attempts, maybe that's a little much, but he is a shooter, so I'm going to let that slide. But and then the game he had, and then the first game he had when the Hawks played, when the Hawks played the Knicks, he didn't do that hot. He had 14 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, went 1 of 5 from the 3, 5 of 14 total. But he's been playing the longest out of everyone. He's been averaging around 33 minutes a game, and that's longer than any player on the team. So
yeah.
The bottom line is,
that's good. They should just let him play.
Yeah. And then the second game he played against the Grizzlies, he did have 20 points and 9 assists, 4 and 9 from 3, and again played 33 minutes. So he is playing the longest out of everybody, and he has had a lull and then a great game and then a so-so game.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been bouncing around the stat book for a little bit, but bottom line is he's playing all these minutes, he's getting experience, and I think that's going to help in the long run.
Yeah. So what is your opinion on rookies? Do you think they should start right away? Do you think that they should kind of earn their minutes? Like, what's your –
depends on the team. Like, for the Hawks, they're so bad that you need some new blood, and he's the perfect – he needs the experience. But if you're on a team like, let's say – the Lakers, and you just got drafted, and they have LeBron James and Rajon Rondo and all these guys, then you got to kind of have to take a back seat for now and just wait for your moment. Mm-hmm. So it all depends on what team you get drafted to, because not every team's going to be like, okay, you're starting, or okay, you're on the bench. It all has to be on their situation.
Yeah, absolutely. So we can take a look at Luka Doncic, who's averaging 18 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. So far in his career, he's been playing a lot. So I just talked to you about how Bagley had a couple games where he wasn't getting a ton of minutes, and then he had one game over 30. Luka's getting 35 a night, pretty much that's pretty much his average. So he's looking pretty good. 18-5-4 again. I mean, that's not a bad first three games. That's impressive. 44% from the field, 61% from the free throw line, 32% from three. So if he can bump up his three-point percentage a little bit higher, he could definitely be over that 20 points a game. That 25-5 range would be absolutely incredible for him to start the season. His first game when he played against the Suns, it was a little tough. He started off that game very hot, but then he ended up going 5-for-16, 0-5 from three. He kind of hit a wall during the game. But I've actually been pleasantly surprised. Not pleasantly surprised, really, but impressed with Luka starting out so fast. I knew that he was a good player. He really does look like he is what the hype was about in terms of being a guy who can do multiple things, play a couple different positions. He can handle the ball. He can play without the ball. His next step will be to be a plus defender and to get his three-point shooting up, which I think he has the ability to. Remember, this is a very young kid. He's been exposed to playing professional basketball earlier than some of these other guys, other rookies. So
I would like put professional with an asterisk because that's like the top players.
No, not with an asterisk. The league that he played in was very good. So he's playing against grown men, and he was young, 17 years old. Mm-hmm. He did very well. So,
but I just you can't compare it to the NBA level.
No. But I'm comparing it to the guys that played college.
College, okay.
Yeah, he got a little. There's more experience, better experience to be gained in playing in Europe than college. But
fair enough.
But yeah, looked impressive so far throughout the young season. What's your take on these rookies so far? What's your take on who's looked the best of the four? Who's looked the worst of these four? And the worst doesn't mean they looked bad. Just maybe the least impressive.
Each one has had like a standout game. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, I think the one that I think needs more work than any of them is Marvin Bagley.
Yeah.
I think he might have been picked a little too high for most people's taste, but he showed some talent in his last couple of games. And I think the bottom line is he's you got to be patient with him. He can develop to be a good player, but you got to be patient with him.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. I think he has the most work to do. I would say that Luka Doncic has been the most impressive so far just because of his well-rounded game. I know Trae Young had the best single game of the four, I would say, but I really like what I've seen of Luka Doncic, so we'll see if that continues to move forward. But yeah, anything else you'd like to add about these four rookies?
Just I'm excited to see how else they can do. Maybe I'm assuming at least one of these guys will make the playoffs. Maybe not, but maybe in the next couple. Yeah, you've got a point. Next
maybe DeAndre Ayton.
That's because Booker's been playing really well. That's kind of who I was looking at because Booker's
the
been
Suns
on
are
fire.
A sneaky team to be relevant for a while. I don't know if they'll make the playoffs, but they might hang around. They might like make some noise.
I think that's where their challenge. There that'd be the most challenging.
I can tell you the Kings and the Hawks are definitely not.
Oh no. Mavericks not either. No. Not that you said not the Hawks, but I'm just saying overall. We can't tell how good they are in these last couple games. Let's wait till the All-Star break, then really give our full analysis on them.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we're going to take a short break, unless you have anything else to say.
Oh, I'm good.
Okay, so we're going to take a short break. When we get back, we'll talk about college basketball. Top 25 came out earlier this week, so we'll get right on that, and we'll see you when we get there.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
And welcome back to the GSMC Basketball Podcast. We just finished talking about NBA stuff, rookie talk, and other stuff about the NBA. I just stumbled there for a second. But now we're going to college basketball. We got a top 25 list, ladies and gentlemen. Preseason basketball top 25 list is officially out. And who are the top teams? Would you like to make a guess there, Mark?
I think I saw a headline that Kansas is number one.
Kansas is number one, and Kentucky is number two.
Would yeah.
you guess number three? Any guesses for number
no
three?
No idea.
All right, we'll just go down the list. Kansas, number one. They had probably the best recruiting class. They had 37 first-place votes. Kentucky is number two. Mm-hmm. Gonzaga is number three.
Gonzaga, huh? The Zags?
Duke is number four. The former number one team for a long period of time last season, Virginia, is number five
mm-hmm.
after their devastating 16-1 loss. The first team to ever lose to a 16 seed in the tournament. Tennessee is number six. Nevada is number seven.
That's interesting.
That is interesting.
I've never seen them that high.
Yeah. North Carolina is number eight. That's pretty low for them, all things considered.
Yeah, it's fine.
Villanova is number nine. That's pretty low. For they've been playing pretty well the last couple of seasons. I know yeah. they kind of had some upsets every now and again, but number nine is pretty low. Michigan State at number 10, 11 Auburn, 12 Kansas State, 13 West Virginia. I expected them to be in the top 10.
Yeah.
16 is Syracuse. 17 is Florida State. Hey, at least one team on Florida State's ranked. Get it? Because their football team's not ranked.
Yep.
Number 18 is Mississippi State. Number 19 is Michigan. Number 20 is TCU. Number 21 is UCLA. Number 22 is Clemson. Number 23 is LSU. Number 24 is Purdue. And number 25 is Washington. Any teams you think are missing in that sector?
No, not really. But, you know, this time of year, I don't really care about the college basketball rankings. What I do like about college basketball is that the preseason rankings really don't matter because they play so many games. Whereas in college football, the preseason or the early season rankings in college football actually matter. There's a lot of bias there, but in college basketball, that works itself out because they play 30 something games, you know?
Mm-hmm. One name I feel like is left out there is Arizona, because they're usually in this top 25 in the preseason, but now they are not looked at the moment. So, they did have some controversy last year regarding recruitment, and they did lose in the first round to Buffalo in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing them that low and them losing all those recruits, it's a pretty harsh fall for a team that's usually in the top 10 when it comes to basketball. So maybe they'll bounce back. We'll see. Their first game is on Wednesday. No, it's not. Yes, it is. It's on Wednesday, the 7th of November against Houston Baptist. So hopefully, I think that's a little tune-up game for them. But Arizona needs a lot of work to get back in the top 25. Kansas is number one, and for good reason. They're always ranked that high, and I don't think they're losing that spot anytime soon. So I think this is a good top 25 list overall. All these guys who are ranked are qualified, I guess you can say, or well deserving of this spot.
Mm-hmm.
So we will see a lot. What do you expect? Do you see a number one seed team in Kansas winning the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I mean, it's so early.
I know it's too early to tell, but
I don't know. Like, I want to see these teams start to play some games, and then,
well, it's coming up shortly, so don't worry.
Yeah, college basketball is one of those things too, where and we talked about this in baseball. I feel like it's such a momentum thing. Like, who gets hot for their conference tournament and who remains hot throughout the NCAA tournament? When those one and done games, like, it's not, the regular season doesn't matter, and we've seen it time and time again. We see some big upsets. We see some of these teams that have lost two games all year, and then they lose in the first, second round of the playoffs or the March Madness tournament. So we will see. I did want to mention, though, that Missouri sophomore Jonte Porter,
mm-hmm.
he tore his ACL and MCL. He's out for the season. He is the brother of Michael Porter Jr.
What are the odds?
Another Porter getting injured. So I don't know if it's something like a, I don't know, amongst the brothers there, that injuries are just a part of their game. But hopefully for him, not so much. Hopefully for Michael Porter, that he can recover from his back injuries. But interesting note that I saw. Anything else you'd like to add about the college basketball preseason rankings or the the upcoming season?
Well, I just see it to be changed a lot over the course of the season. And I know that's an obvious statement, but no ranking is safe, especially in basketball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I did want to discuss a story that happened. Steph Curry and his father, Del Curry, have now gotten into second place all time for a father-son duo, most points ever scored in the NBA.
Who's number one?
The Bryants, Kobe and Joe.
I forgot his dad played basketball. Well, so, I mean, Kobe has most of those.
So Steph and Dell have 27,226 points.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe and Joe Bryant are considerably higher. You want to know how many?
Sure.
38,000.
I wonder who's majority of those points.
895. Do you think Steph Curry can get 11,600 points to catch them? He's 30 years old. I think he can do it.
How many points does Kobe have out of those 38,000? Like
that, I don't know.
28,000.
I could probably find out for you, yeah. But do you think that Steph will be able to catch him?
It's gonna be a long shot. Kobe's Kobe.
Kobe has 33,643. Yeah. So he had 33 of the 38.
So basically, Kobe is just better than those two combined.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, his dad wasn't it a is legendary a cool, player.
It's
or anything.
A cool thing, though. Like, it's a cool thing to
is
be like.
Is Kobe like second all time points?
No.
He's in the top five, isn't he?
That I'm not sure.
I gotta look this up myself.
Yeah, but we'll see. 76ers.
I know Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the leader. Kareem has 38,000 points himself. Kobe Bryant is third all time.
Third, yeah.
Number two is Karl Malone.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of surprising, all things considered.
So
the closest active player to that margin is LeBron James with 31,000 points.
He will definitely get in the top.
Actually, I'm sorry. Dirk Nowitzki has 31,187.
Yeah, but LeBron is how many off of the lead?
7,000.
And how much off second place?
6,000? No, 5,000, excuse me.
I think he can get there, but he definitely can't
Dirk
get the top.
Dirk can get there, too. He's at 31,000 himself.
Interesting.
Yeah, we got two potential record breakers here. LeBron more than Nowitzki. No offense to Nowitzki, but... Yeah.
So Curry would need 11,000 points on his own for the rest of his career. do you think that's attainable?
I'm looking at the top 25 list of the points. Stephen Curry is not even on that list yet, so I don't think so.
Yeah, he has.
Vince Carter is number 22.
He has, what, like 15,000 points or something?
Yeah, something.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
Carmelo Anthony actually is number 19 with 25,000, but I don't think he's going to go close to that record. Yeah, the two closest are Nowitzki and James, and they're right next to each other.
Yeah. So, you want to mention anything else regarding basketball? Ben Simmons is doubtful for back injury.
He's been doubtful for a good bit now.
Yeah, so we'll see if he plays. Obviously, you want to be careful with back injuries, especially early in the season. It's not wise to possibly injure yourself, especially with the back. You just gotta be careful there. So what do you think of the opening week? Any other teams or any other players that stood out to you? Any notable things that happened?
Trae Young game with 35 mm-hmm. points was impressive, but other than that, everything's like the Nuggets upsetting the Warriors was great.
It'd be interesting to see the Lakers.
Kawhi Leonard's been playing really good with Toronto. DeMar DeRozan's been a beast with San Antonio. He's a man on a mission.
Yeah, he's been great.
Yeah, so
it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Lakers this week.
Yeah,
they have if they lose two of these three games, it could be It's possible. They play the Nuggets and the Spurs this week. Like, it's possible. So
basketball is interesting right now.
Yeah.
That's for sure. So tune us in next week, or Thursday,
mm-hmm.
for basketball. I might not be here because I'm going to a wedding, but Mark will be here. He can handle it himself. I believe in him. I trust in him. Don't you have trust in yourself, my friend?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like that. I didn't like that. Okay, I still have trust in you, my friend. But I know I will be back at least Monday, if not that, Tuesday. So, but I will be here tomorrow, though. So tune into the sports, baseball, and soccer podcast tomorrow to hear me before I leave. But until then, I will see you next time. And Mark will see you next time.
Mm-hmm.
Later.
Later.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.